This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. That insurance policy that covers your home will likely get your house rebuilt if it burns down, but water? That's another matter. Homeowners insurance does not necessarily cover damage from floods, and in our region, both hazards are entirely possible. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is reminding homeowners to look into their flood coverage and consider buying it if they do not have it. Jeff Jackson is Deputy Assistant Administrator of Federal Insurance at FEMA and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So you apparently lead flood insurance operations for the National Flood Insurance Program. Give us the broad sweep, because that's a very big program, isn't it?
It is. The National Flood Insurance Program is over 50 years old. It contains has an insurance component, which I lead. It also has a mapping and floodplain management and flood grant components. So it's a huge program that really fills a critical need for Americans.
So in essence, does the federal government backstop insurance companies? Are they providing the insurance or providing the underwriting for it or what?
That's right. We sell policies that we create, but they're sold by a number of commercial insurance companies. We also have FEMA's insurance company, which we call the NFIP Direct, but it's all backstopped by the federal government, and it's overseen by us. And it's a program that's worked well for over 50 years for America, and it's something we hope continues for a long time.
And how are the rates set for a flood insurance? Are they set by FEMA, and what's been the trend in what they've been doing in recent years?
So they are set by FEMA. We develop and provide to the companies that sell our policies a nationalized rating methodology that on an individual level gives you a price that's based on your risk and only your risk. So it has to do with a number of things, distance to a water source, of course, the amount of rainfall in your area. It takes into account the replacement value of your home, so a more expensive home is going to be a little bit more expensive to insure. And then not only it takes into account the topography in your area, how high or low you are compared to water sources.
Well, in a fire-prone region such as ours, I know I'm watching insurance rates rise. I know my own homeowner's insurance went up about 21% year over year, and I'm wondering what the trend is in flood insurance rates.
Over time, they're rising. One of the things about our program is we are capped to no more than an 18% increase in any given year, which sounds like a lot, and it is, but given some of the 40 and 50% increases we've seen across the country in different types of insurance, it does provide some cost stability in that regard. But the larger point is well taken. We're seeing an insurance industry that is seeing increasingly intense storm, rainfall, and fire activity, and is experiencing increased losses. And so the cost, certainly, whether it's your car insurance or homeowners or flood insurance, is on the rise.
So what prompts this conversation is a notice from FEMA about concerns about flood risk after a major wildfire. It seems like there is frequently such a risk.
There is. Anytime there's a wildfire, there's a creation of a burn scar, as many of your listeners know. One thing that some may not know is that there is quite a large increase in flood risk for a period of about 5 years after a wildfire. And when you kind of think about it and deconstruct it, it makes a lot of sense. So all the vegetation, everything that was there from the grass to the trees to the plants, all is gone. And we don't think about it always, but those things soak up water and serve as a flood deterrent when they're there and they exist and keep the flooding from getting too bad. You take all that away, you have a landscape that's charred and barren, and even a small amount of water can create some devastating floodings. We've seen it in a number of communities across America, and you see the sheer amount of water that can create and move, both in terms of the water itself and mud flow, and it can be pretty devastating for a community. And a lot of times those are communities that didn't perhaps think much about flooding before the wildfire occurred. And so it's not always immediately intuitive that there would be an increased flood risk, but the, when you think about it and learn about it, it of course makes a lot of sense. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to get the word out to make sure that folks impacted in those communities understand what their insurance does and does not cover, and then maybe can make a choice to cover themselves to make sure that they're protected during that increased period of risk.
And that was a key point you just brought up, though, that people may think about, okay, this is a place where we get fires, but we don't generally get floods here. That may change after there's been a fire, even if the homes were left untouched.
That's absolutely right. And you know, the other variable here is that our climate is changing. We're seeing increasingly intense rainfall activity. So you may have the double whammy of seeing increased rainfall over the next 5 or 10 years combined with the increased risk of flooding after the wildfire. And it fundamentally changes the risk for those communities because it kind of has a multiplying effect. Perhaps rainfall that wouldn't have been as serious, that maybe is increasing more so than it has been in the past, combining with the barren landscape that's more easily flooded, can lead to some very, very, concerning damage.
We're talking about flood insurance, particularly flood insurance and burn scars, which is certainly a factor in our region year after year. Jeff Jackson is Deputy Assistant Administrator of Federal Insurance at FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. We talked about the risk being elevated certainly after the fire and for a while afterward. How long is that while? I mean, assuming that there's some replanting going back on, reseeding, regrowth, how long does the risks tend to stay elevated?
We use the term 5 years. We found that covers most situations. But you make a great point in your question there, which it depends upon the what is replanted there and how quickly it grows and how quickly you get back to something that at least begins to look and feel like the landscape prior to the wildfire. So I certainly feel very comfortable saying that you're at an elevated risk for 5 years. But it's one of those things you want to keep an eye on what's done with that landscape after the fire. And if you don't see replanting of trees and those types of things, you're going to continue to be at increased risk indefinitely.
So would a typical homeowner's policy necessarily not have a flood rider on it, a flood coverage thing?
Most do not. So it's typically not included. There are, every case is a little different. So there are, there are some policies out there that do have a flood rider on them, but most don't. And so it's something you want to just be very clear on with your insurance agent. So that's our message here today, is really to go on the phone with your insurance agent, understand what's covered in the policy that you currently have, and figure out what it would take to get flood coverage. In most cases, it's going to be the purchase of an additional flood insurance policy.
And is the flood insurance policy as expensive as the fire insurance policy, or somewhat less so? What's the usual trend there?
Our average policy is around $800, probably haven't been following wildfire trends well enough to compare it, but I would just encourage everyone to call your agent. Obviously, an average is an average. It can be more, it can be less, and it really starts with that awareness of knowing what you would be up against and what the financial commitment would be, rather than just to sort of go off the nationwide average that I'm providing you. So really do encourage folks to give their insurance agent a call. And as I said before, we do, our policy is based upon the individual risk of your unique property. And so you'll learn a little bit more about the risk to your property, if nothing else.
And so do the policies tend to be sort of broadly descriptive? I mean, I guess I'm concerned they could be a little narrow. Hairs could be split, where you didn't get hit by a flood, you got hit by a landslide or debris flow, something that wasn't specifically just muddy water. Do they get that specific, or is it a little more broad?
Yeah, that can be an issue. Earth movement is always an issue, and it is something that our policies don't cover. But it's where the specific information that you learn from your agent really can help you understand. What we cover and don't cover is unfortunately pretty tightly prescripted, and so you can get yourself into those situations. But it's really a whole kind of a holistic conversation you want to have with your agent.
All right, but the insurance agents are savvy on this. They don't, you know, people don't need to go directly to FEMA to get this information, do they? Assuming they have standing homeowners policy.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
So in terms of flood insurance policies taking effect, is there a waiting period? Are there any prerequisites, things people need to do to their property to conform to what the requirements of the policy are, anything like that?
There is a 30-day waiting period. So it's important that you act and get something in place and not wait until you see the storm coming. To use one example, the good news is that we don't really have any prerequisites other than that your community has to be a part of the National Flood Insurance Program. The good news is there are 22,600 communities across America who are part of it. It's much, much, much more common for your community to be a part of the NFIP than not. And if your community does take part and does follow our minimum standards for managing the floodplain, as well as with mapping, then you can buy a policy, and we'll always sell you a policy. So it's widely available. You don't have to specifically do anything to your property to be able to buy a policy.
Jeff Jackson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about flood insurance and ideas about buying some. He's Deputy Assistant Administrator of Federal Insurance at FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. So there are some places where flood insurance simply can't be obtained. Are those generally coastal areas or areas along streams? What's the usual exclusion there?
Well, in the private market is different than the policies that we sell. So we take anyone who participates in the NFIP, which is almost every community in America. And if for communities that aren't, they have chosen not to participate. But we have a wide variety of places we go, so you can't really geographically, sort of carve it out. We sell a lot of policies coastally, and then, you know, it's really inland flooding where we have to continue to get the word out about flood risk.
And are the rates higher for places that are prone to flooding, that have floodplains, that sort of thing?
Certainly. So our rates are set up based upon the individual flood risk of a particular property. We look at a number of things. Proximity to flood source is an important part of your rate. The replacement cost value of your home, higher value homes are more expensive to fix than lower value homes. It has to do with the topography around you. So are you above, below, same elevation as the flood source around you? We make use of what we call catastrophic models to figure out what all the different flood scenarios that could happen on your property in a given year, assign them all a probability, and then build out your rate from that. So one of the good things about the changes that have been made to the program is that you're paying for the risk that we see for your property. We're ringing all the cross subsidies and inland properties subsidizing coastal properties and low value properties subsidizing higher value properties. We've worked all that out of the way we do rates. And so what you know when you get a rate from us is this is our absolute best effort using all the science that's available to us to figure out what the risk of flood is to your home. So it can be instructive to get a price even if you don't buy a policy, just to understand from our perspective the risk that we see in your property.
And Jeff, just a little time left here. How much variation in policies? They cover home and contents, or just home, or what?
We do offer both because we're a federal program. We do have some caps that are set in our enabling legislation, so we can only cover up to $250,000 of the building and $100,000 of the contents. That tends to do pretty well for folks with the contents part. The building part can that cap can come in a little bit low. And so on the private market, if you work with an insurance agent, often you'll be offered what's called an excess policy, where a private insurer may pick up that $250,000 in first dollar and beyond for a little bit additional premium paid to them.
All right. We'll provide links for a National Flood Insurance Program at our website at jeffexchange.org. Jeff Jackson, Deputy Assistant Administrator, Federal Insurance at FEMA. Thanks for joining us to talk flood insurance.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.